This is a download from the Post-Keynesian Economics Study Group, PKSG. For more information and terms of use, please visit www.postkeynesian.net.
Good afternoon to everyone. It's really a delight to be here at ASOAS and with so many friends and colleagues in the audience. And I have to be very brief because Engelbert set very high standard in terms of timekeeping. I should also thank Philip that swapped the slot with me so I could leave earlier and catch a train for Leeds. Now, let me introduce a bit this work. This is really a work that we started a long time ago with Philip and Aurélie. And the basic idea was that, I can see Engelbert next to me here. Post-Keynesian have done quite a lot of work on financialization, and we could actually claim that we were ahead of the profession in highlighting some of the issues related to the financialization process, if you want, the transformation that fully discuss and analyze. And basically the idea was that financialization has, of course, as many people in this audience have discussed, a link, and we discussed what type of link, with the Great Recession. And of course there has been a discussion how, for instance, policymakers are respond to the Great Recession. And what has come out recently, and I was discussing with Vicky just before this session, that there has been a quite interesting literature in the last few months about the austerity effect on gender and minority. In particular, you know, this debate is still going on because, as we know, all know, that austerity measures are still having an effect, dramatic effect, we all agree on that, on our real economy. But what was really missing is, and that's where the work started with Philippe Aurélie, is posing the question, if financialization is related to the Great Recession, and the Great Recession is related to what we call stratification, in other words, effect on gender and minority in our economy, could be also that financialization had an effect on gender and race or ethnic minorities in our economy. So the results, they are quite interesting, and what I'm going to give today is a flavor of what we are doing, or what we have done, what we are in the process of doing, so we can gather your views and comments. So in terms of what I was saying is that there are now two literature, actually, they look at gender and race or ethnic or minority in relation to the Great Recession. There is, I would say, a cyclical component, so in other words, what, for instance, the austerity measure have done, and there is a long-run, I think, type of issues. And our focus is really on the long-run in terms of the effect of financialization on gender and race. Now, the paper really has three major components. I would say, more than the paper, our project has three main components. The first component is to relate financialization and the Great Recession, and to highlight it, in particular, the income distribution effect that came out from financialization, which then, some people are arguing, had an important role in explaining in one of the causes, possibly, of the Great Recession. The other two components is, if we take on board that financialization had the income distribution effect, what does it mean that for the labor market? And in particular, as I said, the issue is, what about gender and race in the labor market? So we have a theoretical component of our project which builds on identity theory, stratification, and social norms. And basically the idea, try to substantiate, but you know, let me give you the flavor of what we are doing. We are trying to relate the income distribution caused by financialization to social norms that prevail in the labor market, which have made worse rather than better the stratification in terms of gender and race of, in this case, of the US labor market. And we choose the US labor market because, as Philip always told us, it's very attractive to have a theory, but you really want to test that theory. So, in other words, what you want from your theory is to come out with some hypothesis that can be empirically tested. And when we start with that type of approach, then the labor market in US actually provide, in particular the data on the US labor market, provide that advantage. I mean, if you want to do, for instance, Aurélie was born in France. If you want to do that in France, it's impossible. Because by law, you can't collect data on race in or other minority groups in France. So you don't have the data in order to test this yet. So we look at the US labor market because it gave us the opportunity to do some empirical analysis. And we look here at the long-run relationship of earnings inequality between the different demographic groups split by occupation. Okay? Now, very quickly, because I don't have much time, about, as I said, the starting point of our project is what is financialization, and if there was something there that could be relevant about our project. And there is this quote by Lord Turner, which we liked, and I like to sort of share with you, because of course financialization means a lot of things for, and we are now in the process of clarifying all these meanings. But what was important for us that it did stress that there has been a sharp rise in income differential between many employees in the financial sector and the average income across the whole of the economy. So basically, it's very simplistic. So I hope you forgive me if we give you a broad picture of what we mean in financialization is that if you take the national income tree, what is happening is that there has been an increase starting in the 1980s of the capital share at the expense of labor share, and there are on around Engelbert here have done can substantiate a lot of the things that are here, but then in the capital share there has been an increase in the profit compared to interest, and within the profit has been in the financial sector compared to non-financial sector. What has not been, in our view, fully analyzed is what is happening on this side, which I separated, but actually is strongly related to what is happening on the other side. So basically, what we are looking at, the broad occupation that you have in the US labor market, and our idea is there some things that has affected gender and race in a way in which we have not fully understood it. And to be honest, there is some things about this in the mainstream literature. I think the work by Philip Pond and Richard now is highly quoted. What basically they look at is that there has been a premium for people working in the financial sector. Their argument is, they really basically have done a fantastic statistical work to look at all empirical evidence starting 1900 till the end of last century to see if there has been what they call the finance wage premium, so a wage premium for people working in financial markets. And what they see is that it is true that in the 1980s there was a wage premium for people working in financial markets, around 10%. It grew in 1990s to 50%, and by the time they were writing the paper, they said it really peaked in 2005 around 20%, so just before the financial crisis. So what they did, very empirical driven analysis, they look at where to justify that, typical approach, and they say, well, something other than returns to education, skill intensity, a risk factor, of course, the actual wage to deviate from the benchmark. So in other words, they try to find all sorts of variables they could explain this premium. So they said compensating differentials are likely to explain the evolution of the excess wage. We conclude, that's the interesting part, that a large part of the excess is due to rents. So if you take that argument seriously, that means that sooner or later that rents will disappear. So that was something that stimulated us to think about these issues. So we look here at the weekly and managerial financial provision versus all other occupation in the United States. And indeed, you can see, this is very simple statistics, but you can see that indeed, the argument of Philippe Pornelisheff is easily confirmed by this graph. But there is something that's actually challenging. Well, according to them, around here, you should start to see a decline. And actually, it isn't like that. It's growing more, this premium, beyond, in a sense, 2005. So, the first fascinating thing is, well, they were right to spot this finance wage premium, but actually, their explanation that is a rent that therefore is going to disappear in the next few years is seems not supported by the graph. The other interesting thing is they said, okay, let's look at the way in which that finance wage premium is distributed among different demographic groups. And you will see, I said, oh God, this is when I spoke to Jeff Harkin, he told me this is the white man peak paper. Because basically what you can see is that actually that wage premium is actually, as you can see, is mostly really taken by white men compared to other groups, gender and ethnic groups in the US labor market. So we had here some things that, you know, excited us, you know, and we said, how we can explain that? Now there are two ways you can start to think about those issues. One is Philippe Pornelisheff argument. So you plot data and you start to put variables in order to explain that residual that is there, okay, and how that residual is unevenly distributed. Or, well, you have to come out with what some of my mainstream colleagues said, well, that's sociology, really. I said, well, I don't know if it's sociology, but it may help to explain. So the idea is that what we argue, and this is an hypothesis up to this stage, is that the way in which financialization has operated in the economy and the income distribution produced by financialization have an effect on norms, in a way in which has affected the identity of individuals in the labor market, gender and race identity. And building on the stratification literature, okay, we all know that identity have income and wealth feature attached to it. So the argument is put forward as an hypothesis to go into test dynamically is that financialization has produced some distributional effect which has had an impact on social norms and be affected by social norms in a way which has made the gender and race stratification of the US labor market worse rather than better. In particular, here I have this causal mechanism that could have explained what I was saying. The basic idea is that that process has created a close link between high earnings and people working managerial and financial occupation. And in particular, the group with the stronger social status in US labor market, that is white men, may have been, in a sense, taking advantage of those changes which have been reinforced by financialization. Now, how am I going for time?
7 minutes.
Left. God. Wow. Okay. So, the basic idea, I want to give you the principle that is driving ourselves. So, here, basically, I was trying to justify the theory. I can cut short all this and tell that basically what we are trying to do is building on, in particular, work orally, that what is socially acceptable in a household can become socially acceptable in the labor market. In other words, social norms may help to transfer what is considered fair, in an inverted comma, within the household in the labor market, in the formal labor market. If that you relate that to the fair wage constraint and to the stratification literature for people I'm not very familiar with, I think it's an extremely interesting literature. It was born, of course, naturally, studying the role of race in the United States black race, in particular in the United States, but as actually as a very interesting concept. It's basically the idea that as group of individuals in an economy, we have an identity, and there is an income and wealth feature attached to our identity. And in our behavior, yes, what we try to do in our society is try to defend our income and wealth features. And that creates an intergroup conflict. Okay? And I can't elaborate too much, otherwise I will not have time to explain what we need empirically. So, from this theory, and please do forgive me if I have been very brief, we came up with three theoretical hypotheses. The first one, it's there is the possibility of a wage premium for individual working managerial financial cooperation, which we call the literature, the finance wage premium. Then the second hypothesis was that there was an unequal distribution of the finance wage premium among the different ethnic and gender groups. So white men, white women, black men, black women, and so on. Okay? A second and the third hypothesis is that maybe if there is this finance wage premium, and we have still to go through all that, that wage premium could be used as a benchmark across all occupation. Okay? So what we did long-running relationship of earning across occupation demographic group from 1983 to 2009 using current population survey data. We had three vector error correction model here. Let me go very quickly, or maybe this will tell you what basically we did. So H1 is the co-integration of earnings between these three occupations to see if, these six occupations to see if there is a premium for people working in managerial financial occupation. H2, basically, we see how that wage premium, if there is split among the demographic group in our market. And third was if that wage premium has been used as a benchmark for all occupation. Okay? With 5 minutes? Let me jump. Okay, these are the empirical results. I don't think I have much time to go through the empirical results. I will give you the result, and then I will tell you what we are doing next. So at least you get an idea of where we are. So what basically the results are, this will be basically H1 here, is that we do find a finance wage premium, okay, for people working in managerial and financial occupation, okay. Then H2 was the question if there was any evidence that finance premium was not unequally distributed. Equally distributed. So indeed, there is evidence that it's not equally distributed. Interestingly, Hispanic men seems to, in a sense, follow the same pattern of white men. If I would have time, maybe in the question I will go back to that. And what do we look at? That's why I want to go. The third one was, okay, if there is a finance premium which is not equally distributed, is it the case that maybe that finance premium has spread as a norm to other occupations? And the third hypothesis, actually, we couldn't find any evidence for it. And one of the discussion we had with Philip early was that maybe we were not detailed enough in setting our hypothesis tree. So therefore, we conclude our paper saying that we support, in a sense, Philippon and Rischief with our theoretical framework. The empirics say there is a finance wage premium, is unequally distributed. White men and Hispanic men smaller measure have enjoyed a disproportionate share of the finance wage premium at the expense of particularly black men and white women, but there was inconclusive evidence for all occupations. That is indeed, this paper now is forthcoming next week or next month, I believe, in Feminist Economics. And I was surprised actually when I told Philip we got a request, well, an invitation to go to the United Nations Women to present this work. And people say, are you a feminist economist? I said, I don't know what it means to be a feminist economist, but we certainly found there some evidence that there has been some stratification going on in the U.S. labor market. So we were unhappy with that, and what we did then in the next paper, that's why I would very briefly tell you what we are doing now, is to see if the existence of a rising wage premium for white men in managerial financial occupation will be, in a sense, used not across occupation, but for each demographic group across occupation. Okay, I don't know if it makes sense. So basically, H1, I should have a graph, that's what, for instance, H1 means is the wage clearly. So on the left side of our equation, basically we have white men in managerial financial occupation, and then we use that as a benchmark for setting, in a sense, wage of white women in the rest of the occupation. And the same for all demographic groups. So H2 will be white men, and then against black men in all occupation and so on. And here I have, do I have 1 or 2 minutes? 1 minute left, okay? What we see here is that there is indeed a financial wage premium for white men against the earnings, of course, of women. In this case, we look at a white woman, and we look at the, in particular, there is evidence in professional and service occupation. For black men, again, we see that that premium is clearly evident in this particular occupation. So where we are in terms of the current research, we are trying to, in a sense, understand different pattern of behavior for different demographic group within different occupation. And what we are integrating in that, what was in effect the framework we use at the beginning of our research project, is to look at the inflows, outflows for each profession in terms of gender and race. So what we, in a sense, during our project we have discovered is that it's not only that financialization had an effect on social norms, but social norms had an effect on the way in which financialization had produced different wage pattern, if you want, across different occupations. So in a sense, what we are trying now to do, as I said, is to build on not only on, if you want, on identities, but also what we will call the occupational norms. And, you know, some of the feminist economists will not be surprised that there are occupational norms which interact with the new, sort, you know, events caused, in particular, with the income distribution effect caused by financialization. So maybe I will have to stop here. I can see Joe looking at me, and if there is anything in the question that allow me to elaborate, I would be delighted.